Father, we thank you for your sweet presence in our midst. As we go into the word, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. I ask for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. I ask the same unction and anointing be put upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present here, as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to your people to do an internal and eternal work in each heart, in every heart, including mine. In particular, to cause our wills, Father God, to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I pray that, Lord God, as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring it out of the treasure of this word, things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, there's our school of perfection. We're teaching on Christian perfection, using the Lord Jesus Christ both as our pattern, as our goal. Perfection is a spiritual condition in which the residual sin nature in our souls and bodies have been completely, and that's the key word there, completely cleansed out by the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. To understand this, you have to appreciate that when you get born again, what gets born again is your spirit. Your soul, which is a part of your inner man, but it is separated from the rest of the inner man because it's up here, it's clothed with your brain. Your entire inner man is clothed with your physical body. So it's down here in the inner man, the innermost being, that this life of God is injected. It's not up here in the soul. So the sin nature is still in the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. That's where it's all housed, as well as in the physical body. That's why all of us know this. We all have this struggle with sin, you know, in our Christian lives. The Bible says the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. So many times you don't do what you want to do. You want to do the right thing from what is in here, but you do the wrong thing from what's up here and in here, you know. But the good news is that you can and should use the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome, dominate that sin nature, and then cleanse it out. When all of it is out, that condition is perfection. It's not a utopia. It doesn't mean you know everything, and it certainly doesn't mean you cannot sin. Adam, created in the Garden of Eden, was created perfect, but we know he sinned. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was born sinless, that's why he had to be born of a virgin. You know, the Bible says he was tempted in every way like us. We are, yeah, we are sin. In other words, he could have, but thank God he didn't. A clap offering for the Lord there. Amen. So, you know, it's not a utopia. The good news is that if you do sin, you can clean it out very quickly. You know, you can sin, but you should never continue in it. You know, get it out as quickly as possible, instantly, you know, so that, you know, you restore the condition of perfection. So the condition of perfection can be maintained in exactly the same way in which it was attained. It's attained by the blood, the word, and the spirit. It's maintained by the blood, the word, and the spirit. Now, if you maintain it and grow in that condition of perfection, you come to maturity in that condition of perfection, then you can be trusted with the spirit without measure. And you see this in that's why Jesus is our pattern. You see, the Lord Jesus at the age of 30, in maturity, in perfection, being entrusted with the spirit without measure, it is pertinent, instructive to note that the Holy Spirit, he's always had the Holy Spirit. Had the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. He was born of the Holy Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit when he was 1 year old. He had the Holy Spirit when he was 6 months. He had the Holy Spirit when he was 12. He had the Holy Spirit when he was 14. Yeah, always had the Holy Spirit. But he did not get the measure of the Spirit without measure until he was 30. And it was only after that we see him beginning to do miracles, the kind of miracles we see recorded, the first of which was the turning of water to wine in Cana of Galilee. It's the same pattern. You and I have the Holy Spirit. We're born again. We speak in tongues. We can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We can cast out devils. But you don't see any of us, not from the time of Jesus to date, doing what Jesus did. I've studied church history to some degree. I'm certainly not an expert, but if it had happened, I'm sure we would have heard about it. You know, right from the early apostles, even in fact, to verify what I'm saying, all you have to do is look at the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles had great miracles. Some of the same miracles you see in the ministry of Jesus. You see them raise the dead. You see them cast out devils, but not like Jesus. Not like Jesus. Not by a chinny chin chin. What did we used to say in Mary Poppins? You know. Not. Like Barack Obama said about the superiority of the American military to the Russian, said not even close. And it's the truth. Not check the Acts of the Apostles. Yeah, three people raised from the dead. You got, Peter raising that lady, Dorcas was it, and he got in there and prayed. We're not told how long he prayed for. Probably an hour, And then he turned to the body and said, arise. And she did, Then you got Paul raising the boy who was sleeping. That's why I don't sleep tonight. We may not be able to raise you from the dead yet. So please don't sleep. Raising that young boy, Eutychus, I think it was. Yeah. From the dead. Again, the guy died and he was dead maybe 10 minutes. And thank God for that. I'm not putting it down. But that does not even begin to come close to what Jesus did with the son of the widow of Nain, who was already in a coffin on the way to funeral. He certainly probably had been dead at least 24 hours, if not more. And you raise him from the dead. Now, we've had that too in our Pentecostal experience. People like Smith Wigglesworth, who was close to the pastors that, that helped, that shepherded me when I was initially born again. Pastor Porter and Mrs. Porter, they're both in heaven now. I'm sure they're listening. Wigglesworth raised people who had been in the coffin, But only Wigglesworth, as far as I know, But that is not even close to what happened with Lazarus. Lazarus was not just dead, like one of our brave brethren used to say, he was graveyard dead. He was already in the tomb for 4 days. Martha was so nervous. And you have to consider this, these people had seen Jesus do everything. So ordinarily, they should not have been nervous. They'd seen him raise the dead. They'd seen him heal the sick. They'd seen multitudes heal, virtue come out of him. They'd seen all of that. But this was a stretch. And you got to agree with them. It was a little bit of a stretch. And Martha said, this will be Johnson paraphrase, Lord, don't try this. By this time, worms have already entered the body, ants, insects. Man, Jesus, we believe in you, your son of God. Please, don't go here. Don't disgrace us and yourself. That's what Luby Johnson paraphrased. And Jesus picks her thought. He said, did I not say unto you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? I say all that to say, the rest of the story. And it says, Lazarus come forth, and Lazarus came forth. So there's nothing in church history, nothing in the Acts of Apostles that's even close. Even Paul at Ephesus, the Bible says they took handkerchiefs and aprons from his body. It's about, you know, the Spirit, it was the power of the Holy Spirit, and people got healed and all of that. But in Jesus' case, it wasn't like that. The Bible says virtue went out of him and healed them all being 15,000, 20,000. That shows you the big forbidden gap in physics. We have something, you know, in a conductor, you have electrons at one level and electrons, you know, at the conduction level and the electrons at the valence level. There's what you call, an energy gap. So you need a quantum leap to move from one level to the other. The Jesus' level is at that level. We are in the... And occasionally, the Holy Spirit, through the gifts of the Spirit, gives us a little bit of a push. Then you take a quantum leap and then you come right back. To stay where Jesus was. To have that's the difference between having the Holy Spirit, which we all have, and the Spirit without measure. We don't have that yet unless we're extremely deluded, which sadly some of our brethren seem to be. You must be deluded. Not only dishonest, but deluded. You know, like I've said so many times over the years, if it's here, we would have seen it. It's not here. No one on earth has it as at this evening. Now, I can't talk about tomorrow, but as at this evening. And when it comes, it's not done in a corner. It's not the kind of power you can hide. Even Jesus, in his ministry, he because he's of his self-effacing, humble character, he tried to say, heal someone, said, don't tell anybody, don't tell them. But, you know, they hadn't seen anything like it. You know what they said? They said, it was never so seen in Israel. They said, behold, he has done all things well. Then they asked, he said, is not this the Christ? He said, if the Christ come, will he do more miracles than this? Another clap offering for the Lord. Oh. You know, so that's where we're going. That's where we're going. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the gifts of the Spirit. We pray for the sick. We've cast out devils. And But it's not at that level. And you can understand God cannot trust us with that level if our character isn't yet established in righteousness or perfection. If you're not perfect, you know, you see Jesus, the Lord Jesus himself, even though he was sinless, the Son of God, you know, the Bible says that Spirit came upon him, but he wasn't allowed to release it. He was first of all taken into the wilderness for a 40-day fast. And then he was tempted with the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's only after he passed all the three tests that he now came out in the power of the Spirit and the miracle started. Same pattern. You come to maturity, then you will be tested. You don't necessarily have to go to the wilderness of Sinai in the Negev desert. You know, you don't have to do that. You know, but where in your own environment, you know, there'll be, you know, you will be tested with the lust of the flesh. Will you use the power to turn stone to bread? You'll be tested with the lust of the eyes. Will you want to get wealth for human glory? You'll be tested with the pride of life. Will you try and use that power, go up to a helicopter and jump down and have about five angels just catch you? Can you imagine that? Right in front of everybody with CNN filming it. And I said, the man of God. If you have that kind of thoughts in your head, you're not going to get it. It's not for childish Christians. It's not for Christians who want to use it to show off for human fame and for human glory. It's for people who want to use it to glorify God and bless humanity. For this purpose was a Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's the reason. And then, of course, glory will come to God. That's the reason. to deliver mankind from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty that the sons of God bring. The whole creation is groaning and travailing. They're waiting. They don't know what they're waiting for, but they're waiting for it. All the world, you know, the whole world is in trouble. You go to England, there's trouble. You go to America, there's trouble. You come to Nigeria, of course, there's trouble. You know. But really, you know, just by the way, I'll get into the word in a minute. You know, I'd rather our own kind of trouble than their own. Your trouble is NEPA, IBDEC, you know, water, you know, corrupt politicians, which is bad, don't misunderstand me, you know. But I'd rather have our own problem than theirs. Homosexuality. It's in a different class. You know, their problems are... I read something, because I have my phone and I always get these alerts. When there's a flash alert, this happened in France. I don't know if it's Paris or not. A primary school student stabbed his teacher and killed him. Primary school. Now, I don't want that problem in Nigeria. We don't have that. And we will not have it in Jesus' name. You know, we've got our problems, but nothing like that. Nothing like that. A few weeks ago, it was a six-year-old boy or seven or something. He took a gun and he killed, you know, either he killed somebody anyway. Either, I don't remember, either his parents or a teacher or something. I think it was in school. Yeah, he took it to school. And they now blame the parent for allowing him. He took it to school and shot his, because, you know, they didn't pass his homework or something. Now, I don't want that problem in Nigeria. Yeah. You can see, you know, you can't get water. That's not a problem compared to that one. Are you listening to me? So, you know, a lot of people think, oh, if I jackpa, you know, that is if I go abroad and all that, all my problems will solve. Oh, your problems have just begun. Especially if you didn't go with God leading you. And then you didn't go in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a worse situation out there now. If you don't have the Holy Ghost in that place now, your life is hanging on a thread. You might be in Walmart or McDonald's. You know, and some crazy guy walks in. It's as real as that. Thank God our problems are... So, our problems are not at that level. So, in this spirit, that measure, we're going to use it now to make disciples in all nations, disciples like after the pattern of the 12 apostles and the 70 who would inherit a portion of the board of this spirit without measure, who will heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, and be a witness to their own people when this gospel of power, this gospel of perfection, this gospel of the kingdom is being preached and demonstrated with power into every tribe, tongue, and kindred, making disciples, then Jesus will come. And so that's why we're doing what we're doing. So we get this thing by the blood, the word, and the spirit, using what we call seven pillars of wisdom. We simply have the seven principles that Jesus himself used. The first and the most important one being the fear of the Lord, which is honesty and humility of heart. It's an amazing thing that God says it, I think, two or three times in the book of Proverbs, and maybe one other time. He says, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. There is no greater, what I was teaching on Sunday. If you don't have honesty and humility, you're not going to get wisdom of God. You get wisdom, but it won't be of God. It'll be corrupted wisdom. You'll be satanic wisdom, which is corrupted. You know, but if you want divine wisdom, which is from God, there's actually a message I'm going to be preaching soon. You know, wisdom unto glory. But, you know, not for tonight. You know, there's a wisdom that has been reserved for us to take us to the glory of God. Yeah. You know, so anyway, And so we're studying Jesus. So in our last lesson, we're in Matthew chapter 8, and we stopped in verse 22 with these famous words that I left with us. Total commitment, everybody remember? And top priority. I would say total commitment and top priority. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, then these two things are indispensable. You must have total commitment to me, and you must make me top priority over yourself, your wife, your children, your parents, everything. And then you must have total commitment. In other words, anything I ask you to put down, you have got to put it down. But you see, like I said when we closed last week, you know, that's not, it's the greatest deal you've ever had. Because he's promised that if you do that, then he'll give you back 100-fold in this lifetime. Not just in heaven. I don't know what the theologians did with that scripture. You know, it was not in the recent years that you, people like Brother Copeland and Brother Hagen taught us that, you know, it's in this life too. All we ever heard, all eyes, is everything's in heaven. No wonder why you have miserable Christians who are not motivated. Why did Jesus say in this lifetime? To motivate you. To let you know that, you know, I'm not giving you the wrong end of the stick. I've given you something that's, you know, your life is going to be of great value. Was the thing that motivated me when I left Imperial College. You know, I didn't know that one at that time, but I knew the other one in Timothy. It says, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come, I was assured. I didn't understand it all, but I just, that's what faith is. I just trusted God. I just knew that God is not a liar and that he's going to do it. You know, so it looked as if I was stupid. You know, I was giving up everything, but here I am today. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we've just started. Oh, yes. Our greatest days are ahead of us. Amen. Pastor G, you cannot begin to imagine the glory that is in front of us. I've got a glimpse of it by revelation. And now, you know, when you come on Sunday, I'm going to be talking about the ability of the mind of Christ. Oh, my goodness. No wonder why Scripture says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Those are the things we are going to begin to uncover and experience in the years that are ahead. Oh, yes. Our best years are ahead of us. Amen. And when those things begin to manifest, people say, oh, dear God. So they were right. This is before we go to heaven, right here. Say, oh my. Because the evidence will be overwhelming. The glory will be overwhelming. The wealth will be overwhelming. The power will be overwhelming. The fame that men are looking for will be overwhelming. You will have the fame that only God gives, not the one that man gives. Ah. So let's go into this lesson. Just to whet your appetite. And when... So he said, and you know, he told one of his guys, you know, one of the guys who was trying to follow him. He said, let the dead follow me. Let the dead bury their dead. He called his father dead. And he called his relatives dead. That'll upset most of us. You know, the man, you know, he was demanding. And you know the funny thing, the Lord Jesus, or the interesting thing, The Lord Jesus never came down on his standards because of the crowd. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Total commitment, top priority. If you don't want, go. Yeah. He said, and many of his followers in John chapter 6, said they went back. He just didn't run after them like we do today. And by the grace and the mercy of God, that's what I yet not I, but the grace of God with me, have done over the years. I've refused to change my message, you know, or my emphasis simply because of a crowd or because of money or because of this. And God has looked after me. Here I am. Amen. That's the truth of the matter. So I'm not, you know, if I didn't change then, I certainly am going to change now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, and when he was entered, verse 23, and when he was entered into a ship, the actual word today is boat.
You know, today when you think of a ship, you think of an ocean liner, you know, like, you know, Elder Dempster or one of these, you know, in those days they didn't have ships. That technology wasn't there. What they had was boats. This was a fishing boat, you know. And when he was entered into a boat, the disciples followed him. And behold, there arose, I didn't hear you, a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship, was covered with waves. But he was asleep. Oh my God. How many of you can sleep through a storm? If you don't know God that well, you won't sleep. I know you'll be speaking in tongues throughout. And it won't be tongues in faith, it'll be tongues in fear. Tongues in anxiety, which many times doesn't work anyway. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We perish. And he said unto them, now look at this. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? We infer two things from that statement. It was a subtle rebuke. You shouldn't have been fearful. And your faith is small. It shouldn't be small. And to appreciate that, you need to appreciate the fact that you just look at the verses before. You understand? If you look at, you know, he had healed Peter's mother. You know, tens of people had come to the house. Remember that evening? You know, the very when evening was come, he cast out devils. He done, you know, and other things. You know, he had healed the centurion servant. Yeah, this was before this. You know, in fact, if you read the account, you find out all these things happened in a 24-hour period. He healed the centurion servant. He healed the leper. So, and he had given them a gentle rebuke when he healed the centurion servant by saying, I have not found so great faith. No, not in, that is including the 12. So, that should have been a challenge to them. You know, if you read this account in some of the other Gospels, because this is Matthew, if you look at it in Mark, Luke, and I don't know if it's in John. I think it's in John too. You know, but it's recorded differently. But when you put, it's like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. When you put it all together, you get a complete picture. He actually said unto them, let us go to the other side. Is it not the same, watch this, prof. Is it not the same Jesus that said to the centurion servant, go thy way, and thy servant shall be healed. And the Bible says he was healed in the same hour. I mean, you just heard that just a few hours ago. Now, this same guy now tells you, I say guy, but he's the Lord Jesus, you know. Jesus is not as touchy as you are. You know, this same Lord Jesus now says, let us go to the other side. Ah, come on, man. He said it about the centurion servant. He said, we will get to the other side. So when the storm came, Jesus expected them. That's why it was a subtle rebuke. Why are you fearful? He expected them to say, Jesus has said we're going to the other side. Wind, stop. Just like he's Lord. Like that centurion is over the soldiers. They go and they come. He's over sickness and disease. He's also over wind and storm. That's the reaction Jesus expected from them. That's why he rebuked them. Not hardly, but softly. Why are you so fearful? Oh, ye of... Remember, I just told you the centurion had great faith. You should have had grace. After you should have followed the example of the centurion and had grace to say, peace be still, the master is sleeping. How dare you disturb him? Hello, somebody.
So anyway, you know, then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm.
I want you to understand the mentality here. He didn't pray. He didn't go and beg God. Oh God, stop the storm. He spoke directly to it because he knew its author, the Satan. Just like he spoke to the sickness, like he spoke to the leper. The Bible says, and the leprosy left him. It means leprosy has ears. You know? The leprosy left him. Just like he spoke to the sickness of the centurion's servant, and the man was healed. And the centurion understood that. You know, he spoke to the spiritual force that was causing the wind and the storm. They rebuked it. And the Bible says, and there was a great calm. Understand, it was practically instantaneous. And I may have, you have been on a boat before where, you know, it's a little bit, you know, windy. And it's not the most pleasant experience in the world. I'll tell you an experience. It's a true story. My wife is listening. You know, my wife and I, many years ago, not too many, but, you know, I fulfilled my promise. I took her to Hawaii. Went on our 25th, I can't remember what it was. I think it was 25th wedding anniversary, something like that. You know, so I went to Hawaii, and we were staying in this very nice hotel and everything. So there's this thing that they have where you can go out on a boat and go on the sea, you know, and you know, so we joined a group, you know, you usually they do it in a group of people because it's too expensive for you to be able to do it by yourself, you know, so you probably have about 5-10 couples, then we go have this motorboat and all of that. But the weather was bad, and they're forgetting it. So everybody didn't show up. Because it was predicted that it was going to be windy and breezy and all of that. But I am with my wife. And I show up. And the guys who are, you know, some white guys, you know, American guys who were driving the boat say, wow, you know, only you showed up. Are we going to go? I said, go. It'll be fine. And indeed it was. You know, we went and we just had the whole boat to ourselves. Glory to God. Hey, true story. We went. The wind stopped. The sun came out, you know. And the other guys had paid. But they didn't come. We have a picture of it. You know, my wife is laughing now. We have a picture of it. You know, see, my wife and I were just there. We're just dancing and, you know, playing on the boat with the guys. You know, we had a great time. Praise the Lord. But don't die now if you don't have faith. True story. Amen. He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the man marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him. I'll tell you what manner of man he was. A God man. A man who was operating like God on the earth. And that's what you and I are called to do. Jesus himself said this in quoting Psalm 82 verse 6 in John chapter 10. He said, I said you are gods. That's the kind of man that can do that. What manner of man is this? A God man. A man that has God in him. And the Spirit of God in him in great measure. He can do this. So he didn't do this, watch this, as a son of God. He didn't do it as a second person of the Godhead. He wasn't operating his omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. No. He didn't do it as God. He did it as a man. And that's why you and I can do the same. Rebuke the sea. Rebuke the storm. Over the years, I just gave you an example when we went to Hawaii. But over the years, by the grace and the mercy of God,
I've learned and I have experienced dealing with the weather. We do it every Sunday, you know, pray about our services. It hardly ever rains in our services. Hardly. Occasionally it does. Hardly. You know? And I've had situations. The first experience I ever had of this was in my first year as a Christian. I was still in Imperial College. In that our Assemblies of God church, we had a youth group. I was one of the leaders of the youth group. You know, Pastor Porter had a lot of confidence in me. He gave me a free hand. So, in fact, I started 1 hour before in that church. I learned it from Kenneth Hagin. And I asked the pastor for permission. He said I could. So, I started getting the young people. When I say young now, you know, I was 21. You know, my friend was 22. Then we had some people who were 30, 35. You know, between 20 and 40. You know, so I had these young, you know, very nice guys. You know, and it was a beautiful fellowship because it was multiracial. You know, Timothy and Felicia were Chinese, even though they came from Malaysia. You know, Nick and Trudy were, Nick was Jewish. Trudy, his fiancée, was, she was from Netherlands. She was Dutch, you know. And there were quite a number of us like that, you know. So we had some Nigerians, you know. We had West Indians, you know. It was a very, very, very lovely group, showing the kind of thing we have been in heaven. You see, all those things, the experiences helped me. I have no racial bias, none, completely. I don't have an inferiority complex, and I don't have a superiority complex. I see that in Christ, all of us are the same, and that's the truth. I can walk into Buckingham Palace, I don't feel anything. I can walk into the White House, I don't feel anything. I'm relaxed anywhere I am in the world with anybody. See, because I've come to see that it is God who makes men men. Anyway, so we had this group, and we planned a love feast, but a picnic, and we're going to have it in Hyde Park, you know, and invite people, friends, and all of that, and share the word of God and praise and worship and all that. I can never forget. So we prayed, you know, so we fixed the day. So as the day approached, the weather was terrible. You know how it can be in London, you know, as predictable as the English weather. You know, it was gray and it was windy and I was thinking of canceling the thing, or, you know. But I was the kind of leader of the small group. So I said, I'll let you know, you know. I said, don't worry, we'll be fine. So that morning, true story, I get up, you know, in my hostel. My hostel is in Sussex Gardens, just off, just short walk to Hyde Park. So I speak to the weather. I actually did this. True story. And I said, sun, come out. Weather, be fair. And lo and behold, this is about very early in the morning, about 7, 8, I prayed. And I took my bike, not a motorbike, but an ordinary bike, you know, and I rode to Hyde Park. I rode inside, you know, the police, some police guys, you know, the weather came out. So I, you know, told the people, I said, we're going to have the picnic, it'll be fine, you know. So we all came in about 12 in the afternoon. The weather was perfect. Then I said to myself, this faith thing works. It was one of my first experience. I said, wow, woo. So this, you know, I've been Yank and Hagin and all of that, but I now put it into practice and I find it works. It works. One of my first experience. From that time on, you know, anytime I had a challenge with the weather, I don't pray, I speak. And majority of the time, now sometimes it, you know, I have to pray more, but you know, majority of the time it works. You know, God has given us dominion. Oh yeah, oh yes. I could tell you story after story, but let's, you know, so any God man can do this. What manner of man is this? A God man. Man who is like God. He's not God who like God. All right. Verse 28. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes. Gergesenes, that's it. You know, even the name is demonic. God forgive me. Gergesenes. There met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they, don't you never say they who? They, the two demonic possessed men. They cried out saying, watch this, Jesus hasn't said a word. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Don't your neighbor say, Satan has supernatural knowledge. See, the fact that somebody predicts something correct does not make it God. The devils know what's going on in the realm of the spirit. Remember the Acts chapter 16. The girl who was testifying about Paul and Barnabas and Silas said, these are the men that come. How did she know? The devil knows. Hello, somebody. All right. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, a herd of many swine. Swine is pigs. Feeding. Another message for another day. I've actually preached about this many years ago. But I don't want to go there this evening. So the devils besought him. The word besought means beg. Saying, if thou cast us out, suffer. The word suffer is Old English, means allow. Allow us to go away into the herd of swine. I like this, Pastor G. And he said unto them, go. It was enough. Give the Lord Jesus a super clap offering. Just boom. Not like our people. Oh, shekakakofrede. Then they will roll on the floor. Then they will fight the devil for the next 6 hours. If you have the spirit without measure, you don't need to be conversing with the devil and he running rings around you for 2 hours. You just say, go. Go. That was enough. And there, and when they were come out, that's of the men, the two of them, they went into the herd of swine, that is the pigs, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place. There was an elevated area. Israel is full of, you know, a lot of hills, and, you know, especially Galilee, that area. Down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. The sheep, the pigs, you know, the devils made them rush into the water. Then they drowned. So you can imagine the pollution that would have been in that lake. You know, imagine, if you read the other scriptures, about 2,000. That's a lot of pigs. So imagine them rotting at the bottom of the lake or the river, you know, and had the kind of spunk and smell. And that's Satan for you, you know. He's the author of destruction. He's the author of, there's a word I'm looking for, you know, decay. You know, and all of that. But let's get there first. The response of these people is amazing. And it reminds me of so many people today. Many of us are just like these people. And I'll show you in a minute why. He says, and behold, we jumped to verse 30. And perished in the waters. That's where we stopped. Verse 33. And they that kept them fled. That is the shepherds of the pigs. Let me just quickly put this in out there. These are Jews, not Gentiles. This is Old Testament, the transition. It was still Old Testament. Jesus hadn't died yet. They were not supposed to be keeping sheep, pigs. Yeah. The Jews. It was an abomination. You shepherd sheep and maybe goats, you know, like Jacob, you know, and but not swine. But they have been so far away from the Word of God that they were doing something that was not in line with the will of God. And you're going to see it's going to show up. So there, the shepherd, and I don't know if I can use the word shepherd. Let's say with the Bible, though that kept this is swine. It's a longer thing to say, but let me just say it. You know, the keepers of the swine. Oh, what a name. What a thing to keep. The keepers of the swine went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. So they told them the whole story. They told them about these. Now, if you read this account in some of the other gospels, you see there's one man. We call him the madman of Gadara. But this account in Matthew, just there wasn't one, there were two. Actually, two of them. They were so possessed with the devil. You know, they had supernatural strength. Whenever they tried to, you know, constrain is the word. With chains, they will break the chains. Can you imagine that kind of power? Well, that's no surprise. Look at Samson. Got a kind of power, but that's the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, everything that God does, Satan has a counterfeit, a duplicate. It's a better word. You know, they try and duplicate it. They gave this guy supernatural strength. So they were so fearful. They were so fierce that, you know, if you're coming, you don't go where they are. Because they can attack you. Remember the seven sons of Sceva in the Acts of the Apostles who, you know, the devil jumped on them and beat the nonsense out of them. Said, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. You. Come and cast me out. I'll show you Pepe today. That's why, you know, a lot of Christians are afraid of devils. Especially if you're not living right. And your faith is not strong. You'd be afraid that the devil can jump on you. You shouldn't be. You know? So, anyway. And so, they now tell them the whole story. They tell them how Jesus, two fierce demon-possessed men confronted the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came out of the boat. He was coming. And, you know, these people, they met him. How Jesus cast the devil out from the two of them. You know, how the devils went into the swine and, you know, possessed the swine and caused them to run down the hill into the river and how they perished. I would have thought, Pastor G, that when you hear that kind of read, you would say, praise God. This man we've been trying to. Then the man, the two of them, he said, you know, they were naked, you know, they were clothed in their right mind. You see this account in the other gospels. Shouldn't you be rejoicing? But no. Mercy, Lord. Behold, half the city. The whole city. I said it deliberately. These are the kind of people that they were. The whole city. That will include the mayor or the chief, the elders. Of course, we know it won't be the whole city. It won't be everybody. It just means the representative who that represents, you know, the public opinion. The whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, instead of giving glory to God, instead of thanking God that they had brought deliverance to these two poor souls whom they had tried to constrain, and they had supernatural power and everybody was afraid of them, you know, instead of thanking God for that, they said, please go. They besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Now, you know, the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. He will never force himself on you. If you don't want him, he will leave you. And Jesus left. But before I get to that, let me bring out some very important things here. I brought out the fact that these guys were out of the will of God. They were tending to swine, which in the Old Testament, the Jews were forbidden from eating. They weren't selling it to Gentiles. They were selling it to Jews. It was, thank you, Pastor Laulu. They're making money. So in all that scenario, what was important to them was the money they lost, not the deliverance of the two men. That was more important. They didn't. Instead, I was like, thank God for this kind of power. Oh, yeah, come and teach us. You know, like the Samaritans. Remember the Samaritans? When Jesus, the Samaritan woman, he said, they were happy to hear him. Then they invited him. The Bible says he stayed there 2 extra days. Are you listening to me? These ones were not like that. So, this man is going to spoil our business. Let him take his wahala and go. Do you know how much 2,000 pigs are? Back in those days, that's big economy. Now, the economy in those days was an agrarian economy. You understand? It's a lot of money. And they were very upset. And you know, sadly, the same thing is true today. I got here in my notes. Oh, Jesus, help me. Where in the world are you? Oh, sorry. Went to the wrong page. God. Yeah. The Lord Jesus delivers the madmen, not madman, there were two of them, of Gadara. Again, using the spirit without measure, simply saying, go. Remember what he told us, we saw this last week. He says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you to that degree. That's Olubi Johnson's, but it's contextual, it's correct. You know, you will ask what you will, and it will be done to you. Just like you can use the spirit with measure at will, you can speak in tongues at will. When you inherit the spirit without measure, you can use it at will. Because you will never use it contrary to the will of God. Or else it would never have been given to you in the first place. Are you listening to me? So he just said, go. And the devils were cast out. Now watch this. It says, the whole city asked him to leave. They didn't care once the power of God, because of the responsibility to righteousness that it brings and the loss of their material wealth of the pigs. You know, a lot of people, you're going to see as the glory comes and we're going to do miracles, they won't want to hear. Because it demands responsibility. It demands righteousness. And there is a penalty, a chastening when you don't live up to it. So it's better for them to just stay where they are. Yeah. Many people, because the spirit without measure comes with responsibility. And then it also demands a higher level of consecration. And they weren't prepared to do that. They wanted to keep rearing their pigs. Let me give you the mindset of the average person in that city that came. This man is going to start preaching to us now. And the first thing he's going to say is that we should not be looking after pigs. And you know we are making a lot of money from these pigs. So, brethren, I counsel. This is before they went to meet Jesus. Let him go with his wahala. Let him go with his problem. Because if we let him stay now, he'll go to the synagogue, he'll start preaching that people should not be looking after pigs, and where are we going to make our money? They must have had a council. They didn't just go and meet him. He said the whole city. There must have been a meeting where they decided and concluded that this is not the kind of man we want here. Oh, my bad business, Jeff. He's going to spoil business for us. The whole city, Pastor Guega. The man, the two men that were delivered, wanted to follow Jesus. They wanted to become his disciples. So that they will have a witness. Jesus said, don't go with me, you stay. And go and tell what the Lord has done. At least those two will be a witness, and they may be some of the innocent ones there. God will be able to draw them out. But the great majority of the city, especially the leadership, the covetousness, the love for money was above the love for divine power. The love for money was above the love for the Holy Spirit. The love for money was above the love for Jesus. And we're going to, it may surprise you, but we're going to see the same things today. Oh yeah. Especially when you start saying that, like this Olubi Johnson, you know, he likes trouble. You know, that you... Before you can get spiritual measure, you have to deny yourself, pray, fast, carry your cross daily, crucify the flesh. You know him. He's going to start talking all this. We don't want all of that. You know, he's going to spoil business for us. So just tell him not to come. Pastor Boyega is laughing. Me and Pastor Boyega, over the years, we've had all kinds of experiences. I'm not going to mention any names. I went somewhere once, you know, to preach for somebody. My friend, and he's still my friend till today. You know. And I preached some really, some deep stuff. The guy gets up and preaches the exact opposite of what I said. True story. Yeah, and I was sitting there. You know, and I told people, no, all this one that Pastor George is talking is too hard. Jesus has already taken all our suffering. Jesus has taken our sweats. Jesus has taken our, you know, you don't have to do all of that. Everything is already easy for you. Just, you know. He has never invited me from that time to today. And this is over 30-something years ago. And we're still friends. What I'm saying is this. Once they know the type of standard you're going to preach and teach, usually they don't want you to be there. Especially if it's going to affect the offering. And it will. I bring all kinds of things. People, we go. Like another friend of mine told me many years ago, I just preached these messages then, the Joshua generation. I preached three messages in a row around that. This is 1989, 1990. You know, Joshua generation, times and seasons, man-child company. And this, my friend, heard me. I think it was, we put it on television. Been on television now all these years, by the grace of God, NTA here in Ibadan. So, my friend, he said, ah! So he comes, you know, we have a meeting or something. He sees me, he says to me, ah! He said, Olubi, my friends, they call me OJ. He said, OJ, he said, there is nothing wrong with what you are preaching. It's prophetic. He said, this is prophetic, correct prophetic teaching. He said, and you know, you're one of the finest teachers in Nigeria, if not the finest. These were his words, not mine. He said, but
people are not ready for this. He told me he had my interest at heart.
He said, they're not ready for this. So
he said, if you do this, people will leave your church. You've been teaching all this healing, prosperity. He said, stay with that. He said, you stay that one. You know, everybody wants to get. He said, you know. He said, well, if we start preaching these ones now. He said,
yeah, you're going to lose the crowd, though. And people are going to fight with you and say all kinds of things. But more people can't even understand all of these things, you know. And he understood them to some degree because he knew they was prophetic. You know, he said, you're a profound prophetic teacher. So I said to him, I said, thanks. I appreciate your love and time. I said, but I'm not going to change. I won't do that. You know, I'm going to stay with the word and all of that. And that's what I did. And what he said came to pass. Oh, people left. You know, when we first started Scripture Pastor, we started in 84. We were one of the first, this Word of Faith, what we call the modern Word of Faith churches in Nigeria. Tunde Jordan started in Lagos in January 1984. We started here in Ibadan in July 1984. David Oyedepo started in Kaduna in September 83. He started a few months before us. But we actually prayed for him at the we had a conference called the End Time Army. It was organized by Francis Waleoke. And my wife was there. This is September 83. And David Oyedepo told all of us that God had told him to go to Kaduna, that he was going to go and start a church there. You know, and that we should pray for him. And we did. You know, it was a group. And that's how he went. So it was just those three. We were the only one in Ibadan. So, and a lot of the young people started getting born again, people from campus and everything. There was nowhere else to go. So, Brother Olubi locks the door at 8 o'clock if you don't come in time. And I used to. In Boys International School, Sholakwe is shaking her head. She can remember. You know, don't let me go there. That's where Sholakwe and Wigan. Don't let me start another message tonight. Okay. Right. You know, and you know, they. So there was nowhere else to go. So if I preach live scripture, if I preach hard message, you take it like that. But after a year or so, some other people also started some churches. You know, wherever, Bolubi, I started this, okay, me too, I'll start my own. So some other people, all of them, most of them, practically all of them came from Scripture Pastor. You know, I was somewhere recently, I say this to the glory of God, to corroborate what I'm saying, I went to see somebody, you know, and while I was there, you know, I went to console them. Somebody had, I think the mother had passed on. So I went to, you know, just greet them and everything. So we're all talking, you know, all young men. Well, we're not young anymore. All of us are in our 60s now, you know. But we were all friends from when we're all young people, you know, when we're in IUI, international school, you know, this is back in the 70s, you know, in the mid-70s. So we were all just gisting, you know, and all of that. So somebody calls from America, you know, somebody calls from America on the mobile phone to pay his condolences. So this is my other friend. Who picked the call, you know, who's close that? He said, he said, Pastor Lupi is here, you know, your pastor. So, I said, who is that? He said, don't be the name of that. I said, give me the phone. So he gave me the phone. I said, you are backslidden. I was joking, of course. He's not backslidden, you know. And, you know, I said, Pastor Lupi, I'll call you later and everything. So we just can't go. So this is my other friends when I was saying, how these people seem to come from your church? I said, yes, they do. Yes. Oh, they all do. You know. Many, 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 many. I said, practically, you know, a good number of them. So there, in those days, there was nowhere else to go. You know, but after some time, people had alternatives. So that's what happened. So as we continue to preach this prophetic, people have said,
This is a hard saying. Who can hear? I remember one time, Pastor Quigga will remember this. You know, one day I was preaching, you know, I said, you're going to die one way or the other. Who wants to hear that? But you know it's the truth. Either you die to self, or you die physically, but you're going to die. So, after seven, don't say it like that. It's too hard. How can you say such a thing? You know, and I just laugh. Hey, yeah. Nobody wants to hear those kind of things. So these people, the swine keepers, and you still have them today. They keep swine because of covetousness. You know, they besought the Lord Jesus to leave. To please go. Take your spirit without measure. Take your spirit without measure. Take your anointing. Go. And leave us in peace. So we can continue to sell our swine and make our money. This message of the kingdom, as we take it to the ends of the earth, we're going to meet people like that. Amen. We're going to meet the good ones like the Samaritan, the Samaritan woman. And then we're going to meet other Samaritans who will say, and his face was set to go to Jerusalem, and they did not want him to come into their town. And we're going to have our James and our Johns, our sons of thunder, who will say, Lord, let's teach them a lesson. Let's call fire from heaven so there will never be root to a man of God again. And we're going to be like Jesus, you know not spiritual of. And we'll go to another town. So they're going to be there. Yeah. One other thing I want to bring out of this story before I close is the account of the Lord Jesus Christ about this particular event to Kenneth Hagin. In one of the visions, when Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin, Jesus tells him what happened here. And there is detail that was not recorded, but you can infer that it is true. That's how you know that those visions Kenneth Hagin had were truly from the Lord. And Jesus said that, as I approached those devils, those madmen, he said, the gifts of discerning of spirits, which is the ability to see and to hear in the realm of the spirit, came into manifestation. He said that the man had thousands of devils inside him, but he was possessed by one who actually possessed it. You know, there is difference between demonic oppression and demonic possession. When you're oppressed, it comes against your mind, your will, your emotions, and it gives you a lot of problems. But you're not possessed. When you're possessed, your mind is no longer yours. Your will is no longer. That's what the madman you see on the road, when you see his head, you know, he's not in his mind. That's possession. So these guys were possessed. So the devils that were inside them, as the Lord Jesus, it's good to have glory. We must inherit that thing. The effulgence that was coming out of Jesus immediately made the devils uncomfortable. So they spoke to Jesus, not in Hebrew, not in Aramaic, and not through the man's voice. One spoke through his voice later on. You know, and they said to him, he said that if you were there that day, you would not hear what the devil said. He said, but I heard it. Because he had discerning of spirits. So they said to him that has he come to destroy them and all of that. They were really, you know, agitated, because they knew Jesus was going to set, he was going to set the guy free.
So they
negotiated with him. And they spoke, give us permission. In another account, they said, have you come to torment us before the time? So there is a time when all the demons are going to be tormented. We're going to put all of them in the lake of fire. That day is very near. And the closer it gets, the more terrified Satan and his people are. Many Christians don't know this. Satan is more afraid of you than you are of him. This guy we don't know. He is under much more pressure than you are. Yes. He knows the time is short. The Bible says in the book of Revelation. And if it was short 2,000 years ago, you can imagine how short it is now. He knows his time is short. Who wants to spend the next 1,000 years bound in the bottomless pit? Talk about solitary confinement. And that's just the beginning. Then after that, he's going to be taken with the Antichrist and the false prophet. Those are the first three. Then maybe Hitler is number four or five. So we don't know. And Putin. No, we have some bad people on the earth. Bad people. You know. So anyway, you know, they speak to the Lord Jesus, you know. And in that account, I don't remember everything clearly, you know. Through, he hears them through discernings of spirits. So he now asks them a question. He says, what is your name? Then the demon answers back and says, my name is Legion, because we are many. One demon possessed the man, but a legion indwelt him. All this came by the sound of spirit. Jesus was telling Kenneth Hagin. He said, and I gave them permission to live. And that's how they entered into the swine, into the pigs, and they went down. The lesson from that is this. Do not converse with devils if discerning of spirits is not in operation. Don't do it. They will run rings around you. They'll take you to your hometown and look for an Ogbanje stone under one Iroko tree. And it will be there. Don't do that. If discerning of spirits, just speak. Boom. That's it. Don't, you know. So Jesus said, I had that conversation with them because I had discerning. That's what he told Kenneth Hagin. I had discernings of spirits in operation. He said they were speaking through the man's voice, you know, the one who possessed him. He said, but the legion, you won't hear those ones. Those ones were saying, oh, please don't. They were begging him. And then he cast them out. So we as Christians, we need to understand the reality of these things. And that's why, brethren, we need the spirit without measure. We're not going to get this thing done with the spirit with measure. You know, Jesus had, he had all those things in operation. And that's why he was able to cast that devil out. Imagine a man who was possessed. Two men, they were naked. They were cutting themselves with stones, you know, and they were crying day and night, and all the, instantly. I'll give the Lord a super clap offering. I just got a tweet. Who put his clothes on him? The disciples. He said they found him clothed, sitting and in his right mind. Immediately after deliverance, Jesus said, boys, looked after him. The guy was so grateful. He wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus said, this is your troublesome people here. They need a witness. So you stay, go to your house, and go and tell them what great things the Lord has done for them. Stand to your feet. We got to finish.
You know, I just got another tweet.
Listen to what I'm about to say.
Jesus went to all the tribes of Israel when he was here. Of course, you know, but at that time, because after the Babylonian captivity and everything, but it was difficult to trace who was in which tribe. You could know, but not fully. Jesus knew Jesus was from Judah. Do you understand? And then you could tell in some cases, but in some cases, I mean, they'd mixed and mixed and mixed. There'd been this dispersion, you know. However, you will find that Jesus gets up early in the morning, you know, and the Bible says that he went to a solitary place to pray. Peter and James and John, they all look for him. So they find him, and then they said, all men seek for thee. He said, let us go to the other towns, for that's what I've been called to. It part of his mandate, what we are, watch this, what we are to do to every tribe, tongue, and kindred universally, Jesus did in Israel. There is no part of Israel Jesus didn't go to. He was called to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He went the whole length and breadth, everywhere in Israel he went. And the Gagarines, let's just call it Gadara. It's easier for me. You know, was no exception, even though they didn't accept him. But he left a witness that he came. Those two men. He went everywhere. There's nowhere, no town, even Nazareth, where he had been brought up and he was rejected, it was recorded he went. And he healed a few sick folk. And most importantly, he read the scripture in the synagogue, recorded in Luke chapter 4. For all eternity to know, he did go to Nazareth. It says, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. Woe unto thee, Capernaum. If the works that had been done in you were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they will still be standing today. Might I add, woe unto thee, Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How would I have longed to gather you like a hen? He said, but you would not. He says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate because you did not know the day of your visitation. There is nowhere he didn't go. With those 12 and those 70, and everywhere he went, there was a witness of healing, deliverance, the glory of God. So that none of them would be able to say, he came, he didn't come to us. This one, Gagarines or whatever they're called, Gadara, you understand? It is recorded instead of for them, against them. They did not know the day of their visitation. Their greed blinded them. May we know the day of our visitation. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody? Jesus is Lord. May we know the day of our visitation. May we not reject. It says, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men, apostles. It says, and I will stone them. You know, I just got another tweet, Pastor G. By the grace of God, yet not I, assisted by my pastors, Pastor Wig, and many others like that, over the years. There's no part of Nigeria I didn't go. I went to the north. I went to Maiduguri. However, remember,
Ah, you will not remember. Some of you were not born. Those who were born were too small. It was 93. Rhoda was there. She was in university. Right? Pastor Rhoda. You know what happened? It was that June 12th. You know, they said Nigeria was going to break up. Ah, everyone said, don't go to Maiduguri, or don't go to the, no, don't go. I said, you know, full gospel businessmen, they invited me. I went. And I came back. So they won't say, we didn't know. That's why these things were recorded for us. Jesus went everywhere. Israel. He didn't go outside Israel. Because his mandate was Israel. You and I today, now our mandate is the world. In the words, famous words of John Wesley, the world is my parish. You know John Wesley's story. They kicked him out of the church. You know, John Wesley's Church of England, Anglican. You understand? So when he's there preaching all these things about the new birth and all these, you know, deeper things, the priests and all of that, they didn't like him. So they said they won't allow him to preach. So they kicked him out of the church. They keep kicking us out. They kick Kenneth Hagin out. They keep Jesus out. They kick me out. You know, welcome to the club. So they kick John Wesley out. So, you know, in those days, and still today, in the Anglican church, people's graves, they're buried just out. The graveyard is just as you know what John Wesley did? John Wesley took his Bible and stood on his father's grave. He said, nobody can tell me not to stand on my father's grave. Then he said, preaching on top of his father's grave. Then he said, this is not my parish. The world is my parish. And indeed, it was. We're still feeling the reverberation, the ripples of the John Wesley revivals of the 1700s, the effect today. Like they said, when John Wesley died, they said, well, he wasn't a very rich man. He didn't have much. You know, I think he had a few things, gave to some children. They said, oh, he didn't leave much. He said, oh, one other thing, the Methodist Church. It's good to leave something good behind. So they say, oh, he didn't have the Methodist Church. It affected the whole of England. Triggered the Industrial Revolution. So we need to know who we are. Let's talk to God. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Draw me close to you. Sing it.
Draw me close to you.
Draw me close to you.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again. To hear you say,
hallelujah.
To hear you say that I'm your friend. You were my desire.
You were my desire.
You were my desire.
No one else will do. Nothing else can take your place.
Oh Lord,
to feel the warmth of your embrace.
Help me find a way. Lord,
bring me back to you. Draw me close to you. Start again. Hallelujah. Oh, sing it.
Draw me close to you. Oh, Lord.
Never let me go. Never let me go. Hallelujah.
Say that I'm your friend.
You
can take your name.
You don't have to go to heaven to bring him down. You don't have to go across the sea to bring him.
He says, what saith things? The word is nigh thee. In thy heart and in thy mouth. This is the word of faith which we preach. He's there.
Stay close to him. It's not difficult. Just takes a decision and practice. Practice. After a while, it'd be almost second nature. And you won't be like Peter and all these guys who start crying whenever there's a wind. You speak to it. He's not. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for showing me through the Lord Jesus the operation of the Spirit without measure through the spoken word. Oh Lord, help me. Help me to know you are near. You are with me through your word. Your word is spirit. Your word is life. Your word is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Oh God, help me recognize that you are always with me through your word, in Jesus' name. Nela mashakato frede, lembrikato fridisk, Father leprakatoshka frigolomatolomato fres, Lord Jesus aprikitolomato frides, Lord Holy Spirit nikito frede klamato freshe. Thank you for your blood labrikato frides. Thank you for your life rakato frides. Thank you for your power neradoshka fre lombrigiko frides, lambrigas lembrede klamatolo. In Jesus' name. If you're here, you need healing for your body, or you're at home, stretch your hands towards your device. If you're here, just raise your hand in faith. Father, for those who are in need of healing and deliverance, we send forth the healing word in Jesus' name. Be thou made whole. We come against spirits of infirmity, spirits of fear, spirits of doubt, of oppression and depression. We cast you out. We destroy your works. Reason we bind you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord Holy Spirit, we thank you.